Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that is before us on the second Sunday after Christmas, the Sunday before the Epiphany, is found in the letter of Paul, the first letter to the Corinthians, the sixth chapter, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The name of Jesus, the Christ who became flesh in order to save us all from our sins. What do you want for Christmas? I know it's late to be asking that question, but I just bring it up because it's a question that's often asked of many of us, if not all of us, in those weeks that bring us up to the greatest gift-giving time of the year. And I suppose it's the children, if I remember correctly, that are the best at making those gift lists, the I want this or that list. And it's easy for children to do because they're small and they're dependent and we love them and they know that, and so they ask and we do our best to do what's best for them. But as we get older, we become more mature. We become more responsible. We're no longer children in many respects. And pretty soon it's not what we want, it's what others want of us. Pretty soon, we become wanted. Now, there are going to be some changes in our lives in this new year. There always are changes in every new year, but one thing won't change. For any of us, we're all going to be wanted by a whole lot of people for a lot of reasons. We're going to be wanted by our families, husbands, wives, children, they're going to want us to pay more attention to them. We're going to be wanted by our church family to do the work of the Lord. We're going to be wanted by the politicians next fall who will be running for office. They'll want our vote, and that's the only reason that they will want us. Well, maybe for money. We'll be wanted for taxes. And the list goes on and on, depending on our various callings in life. Many are going to compete for our attention then during this coming year. And one of the most trying things for me, the older I get, is sorting out, making priorities when so many people want you. Well, the devil wants us too. That too will not change in the new year. It'll be the same as the last year, maybe worse. And we're going to have to be able to distinguish, because of the way the devil works, when he is working through others who want us for this or that. We're going to have to distinguish between what is good and what is bad, what he's behind and what God is behind. For example, when Eve was tempted by Satan to eat of the forbidden fruit, she wasn't aware that it was Satan. She thought the serpent was offering her something that she'd missed somehow in the garden that was really good for her. Joseph, on the other hand, when Potiphar's wife came to him and wanted him to lay with her and sin, Joseph understood who was behind Potiphar's wife. It was the devil that really wanted him. So we're going to be wanted this year again. The thing we need to keep in mind always is that given all of those who want us, God wants us also, and he wants to possess us for our blessing. And this is what we have to keep in mind in 2014. Those of you who have been elected to the church council have been chosen by the Lord to serve the congregation, to do his work. You are wanted for this service by God. But in this new year, you're also going to be wanted by others for a lot of other reasons. And this goes the same for every one of us, whatever our calling is in life. Parents, your children are going to be wanted by your teachers to do good work in school. It doesn't make any difference what our calling is. We're businessmen or teachers or laborers or public servants, whatever it is. And where there's a conflict and a choice to be made, on what shall we base our decision? I hope that we remember that first we belong to the Lord our God who redeemed us, who has purchased us. In the words of our text, Paul's warning against the immoral use of a body that belongs to God, the Holy Spirit. He wanted to emphasize God's dwelling in us and how we should make use of our bodies, which have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you think about it, the entire life of the Christian in 2014, just as in the past year, is summarized in these two short verses. Our life, our true life, has been made possible by the Son of God giving his life blood for the sins of the world. And by him then sending the Holy Spirit to comfort our hearts with his peace and to cause us to believe the unbelievable. 8 days after his birth, Jesus was circumcised as God had commanded through the law of Moses. And that began then our Lord's perfect keeping of the law for us, which he conducted throughout his lifetime and finally delivered himself as a holy sacrifice upon the cross. So all people were bought with a price. And the price is the life of God's own Son. His life then became our possession. Christ lives in me, Paul says in another place. When the Holy Spirit worked repentance and faith in the gospel of Christ, at that time, the Holy Spirit took up residence in our bodies. That's what Paul's talking about. But he's also saying to us that this mysterious indwelling of the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus not only brings the Holy Spirit to us, but it also means that we are no longer our own masters. That's what Paul's getting at. All the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings to us, enlightenment, peace, joy, forgiveness, hope, life eternal, and so on, all of these things are possessed by us through faith in Christ. But at the same time, then, the Holy Spirit possesses us by the very fact that he's given to us. In fact, we are warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, by living in sin, by turning away from God's word. This Holy Spirit is the down payment, the earnest money of our eternal mansions. We are possessed by the Holy Spirit. You are not your own, therefore, Paul says. Glorify God in all the acts of your body and your spirit or will, for they belong to God. In the coming year, another thing that's not going to change is that the whole unbelieving world is going to continue to go its own way. It's going to continue to disregard, massage, tweak the commandments of God so that they can go their own way and feel real good about it. But let's remember that through his blood, Christ purchased and won us from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood. Why? Luther explains, so that we should be Christ's own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns through all eternity. None of us owes anyone more than we owe the one who gave himself into such horrible suffering for our sins, that we might be his own.
There's another most wonderful reason the Lord wants you and me in his service in the coming year. Most of those who want you in this life want you for their own benefit. That's human nature, and the devil certainly doesn't want to do anything good for you as he attempts to distract you and turn you away from your Savior into his service. But your gracious Lord wants to bless you through your service to him. The Bible teaches that the good works of the believer receive a reward from God. Yes, the scripture says that. Why do they receive a reward? Because they are fruits of faith. Because they are the fruits of a living faith in Jesus as our Savior. And speaking of the preachers of the gospel, Paul wrote earlier in this same letter, each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Yes, we will be rewarded for our labor, because that labor is the fruit of a living faith in our Savior. When Paul wrote to Timothy about disciplining himself for godly living, Paul wrote, bodily exercise is of little profit. That means everything you can do for your body, it profits a little. Yeah. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Luther points out in his explanation of the fourth commandment. You remember the fourth commandment? Honor your father and mother. Luther points out this is the commandment that has a promise with it. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth. Now, these are all rewards of grace. They're not rewards of merit. Every true Christian, not one who calls himself a Christian or a believer, none of that, a true Christian, every one of them knows he cannot offer God a bill that says, God, you owe me for my faithful service. At least I tried. No Christian does that. No Christian thinks that. He understands, as Paul writes to Philippians, it is God who works in him both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is God's work in us. In other words, the most wonderful thing that only the eternal, all-wise God could ever come up with. Our God in heaven, by grace through faith in Christ, possesses us through the blood of his Son, and then he moves us to perform the works of faith's love so that he can reward us for what he is causing us to do. Who would have ever thought of such a thing? No man. Only our God of grace and love in Christ. The one who possesses us. So this wonderful truth applies to all of us who serve in the church, whether organists or faithful church cleaners, groundskeepers, choir members, janitor, teacher, whatever. It applies when we do good unto all people, when we love our enemies, when we give to those who are in need. Not for any concern that somehow we're going to be rewarded or it's going to reflect well on us, but only for the sake of God's love toward us. So in summary, all that we do in love and faith for our God and our fellow men works both heavenly and earthly rewards for us. So Paul wrote to the Galatian Christians, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In the new year, some of you, as you did in last year, are going to become tired. And you may lose heart because everyone wants you. But all you need to do is focus on who it is who bought you, who it is who possesses you for your own eternal benefit. And then 2014, no matter how many people want you, will be easier for you. Because you won't think about you, me, you'll think about him, the one who bought you, the one who sent his Spirit to indwell you and possess you. We were purchased heart and head and hands and feet and eyes and body and mind and spirit totally by the blood of Jesus. Because he wanted to possess and bless us in heaven and also here on earth. That's why he did it. It's all for us. Your Lord wants you more completely in his service in the coming year. Me too. I mean, he wants me. So may he strengthen all of us with the embrace of his love and the indwelling of his Spirit through the continual announcement of the forgiveness of our sins and life eternal. May he embrace us and strengthen his grip on us so that we resolve once again with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety, because your Lord Jesus Christ is embracing you from heaven and from within through his Spirit. Amen.